The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today marks Transgender Day of Visibility. Each year on March 31st, we celebrate transgender Americans and all that they have accomplished. We honor the many contributions transgender Americans make in health, medicine, public service, and across our nation. Today of all days, I stand proud and visible with my fellow transgender Americans. Happy Transgender Day of Visibility.
So the criticism over the Transgender Day of Visibility, the White House said that the president wouldn't abuse his faith for political purposes. Does the president think that's what Republicans are doing?
Really, so surprised by the misinformation that's been out there around this. As a Christian who celebrates Easter with family, President Biden stands for bringing people together and upholding the dignity and freedoms of every American. Now, sadly, and it's not surprising, right? It is actually unsurprising that politicians are seeking to divide and weaken our country with cruel, hateful, and dishonest rhetoric. It is dishonest what we have heard the past 24 hours. It is untrue what we heard over the weekend.
But we discovered trans days take up half the year. They have Transgender Day of Visibility, Transgender Day of Remembrance, Transgender Awareness Week, Trans Awareness Month, Transparent Day, International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, and Transphobia, Pride Month, LGBTQ History Month, LGBTQ Health Awareness Week, International Day of Pink, Day of Silence for Trans Bullying, Lesbian Visibility Week, Agender Pride Day, Harvey Milk Day, Pansexual and Panromantic Awareness Day, Stonewall Day, International LGBTQ Plus Day, International Non-Binary People Day, International Drag Day, Bisexual Awareness Week, Celebrate Bisexuality Day, International Lesbian Day, National Coming Out Day, Gender Fluid Visibility Week, International Pronoun Day, Spirit Day, Intersex Awareness Day, Intersex Day of Remembrance. I don't think the trans community is suffering from a lack of visibility. It's all we see.
He's exactly right. It's all that we see. You think of it. Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, they get one day and they have to share it. They have to share President's Day between the two of them. One of the founders of the country and another one, a president who saved the nation. And yet, like Jesse brings out, I mean, transgender worship, it takes up half of the calendar year. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Lots and lots to get to. You can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com. Also, you can go to our Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. As I say, we've got a lot to roll through on the program today. Just one little side note here before we continue. We had the sit down with, or the interview with, General Michael Flynn on the program last Thursday, I think it was. I believe his DVD video comes out this week. He's starting his 3-month tour here in just a few days for his new documentary. And I should mention to our viewers that the documentary in its current form, it has a lot of profanity in it. So just beware if you do order the DVD, in case you were wanting to view it with your children or something, you might want to steer clear of that. The viewing that we have scheduled for Armstrong Auditorium, that's on April 14th, that will be free of the swear words. So we're deleting those ahead of the viewing in Armstrong Auditorium. But if you get the original, just be forewarned. There is some bad language It is, other than that, it is a documentary. There's nothing else that I know of that would be inappropriate other than the language. So you have this transgender movement. I mean, it's just really being forced down our throats. It's all year long. They've got the entire month of June. They've got March 31st, we now know. And by the way, Redefining Family, we haven't plugged that booklet in some time. But you can get to that at our website, thetrumpet.com, or you can call our operators and request your free copy. There's no cost or obligation. It's 1-866-930-3024. But really, I mean, yes, and we made the point yesterday, to hear them, to see how aggressive they're pushing this agenda, and then at the same time talking about religion and going to church. And Joy Reid talking about the Ten Commandments of all things. I mean, she was just going right down the commandments last night, talking about how Donald Trump broke this one, and he broke this commandment, and he broke this commandment. Wow. Talking about the Ten Commandments. But you see, it only applies to Donald Trump. To hear them talk about how religious they are, even as they force this transgender movement all across society. It's half of the year. Joe Biden, by the way, yesterday, he said that a reporter asked him about the Transgender Visibility Day and how that, well, you put more attention on that than you did Easter. And he said, no, I didn't. You've got it wrong. I didn't do that. This proclamation that he signed, by the way, I, Joseph R. Biden, he basically came out, that was Friday, and then he basically came out yesterday and said, I didn't do it. Well, I mean, in one sense, it's not surprising, because he's not running the show, as we've noted so many times before. He's the puppet, clearly. But I mean, this Visibility Day started back in 2009, by the way. First year of the presidency for the dear leader. And what we're seeing is just an extension of that fundamental transformation. This is from American Spectator. It says, we already knew that the Joe Biden administration was anti-Christian. After this past weekend, there can be no doubt. The Biden administration is a Xerox copy, if not a full-on reproduction, of the Obama administration, to which Biden was attached as vice president. This guy goes on and talks about a book he wrote, Racism, Revenge, and Ruin. It's all Obama. All roads lead to Obama, says here. But in all of those blows, Obama landed on the Christian faith. Never was there such an open insult leveled against American Christians than what Joe Biden did on Friday. That's when he came out with the proclamation. And then, of course, March 31st on Sunday, that was the Transgender Visibility Day. They're not visible enough. We just don't get enough of it. We've just got to give it another day to celebrate. It says here, transgenderism is the belief that one can literally change from male to female or vice versa through the force of will, drugs, and surgery. It is a denial of the most basic truth in existence, that we are as God has made us. These people going on and on about what it means to be a Christian. Transgender people believe that God was wrong and that they can perfect God's mistakes. This is categorically unchristian, anti-Christian. It goes right against the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1 and verse 27. God made them male and female. God knew what he was doing. God is the great creator God. He's our maker. He's the designer. And you get to the end of Genesis 1, and what does he say? He looked at everything that he had made, including male and female, and he said, it's very good. He was really happy with his physical creation. And of course, there's more to it than that. God made us in his likeness and soon to be his image. He's reproducing himself. And you can see why the family, the institution of marriage and family, you can see why it's such a massive target in the eyes of the devil. He wants to undermine and to destroy family, to destroy marriage. This is from American Greatness. It says here, the Biden administration's declaration of a transgender visibility day on the same day as Easter Sunday has drawn widespread backlash. It says Breitbart reports that there are pro-LGBTQ days in every month this year, with multiple days created by such far-left groups as Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation and copied by the administration. They think they're suffering from a lack of visibility? Seriously? It says among the plethora of days of observance is the No Name Calling Week, which took place on January 16 to the 22nd. February 7th was National Black HIV AIDS Awareness Day, while February 28th was HIV is Not a Crime Awareness Day. March 10th is National Women and Girls HIV AIDS Awareness Day, and on it goes. You just heard it from Jesse Waters. I mean, this is truly Sodom and Gomorrah sickness right here. We declare our sin as Sodom. That's what your Bible says. It's not that we're quietly going about these abominations. We declare it openly. We record it. In the case of homosexual acts, we'll record it if it's going on in Congress. And then we'll put it out for the whole world to see. What must America's enemies be thinking right about now? And then to have these same, the same regime that's pushing and promoting and declaring to go on and on about what it means to be religious. It almost makes you sick to your stomach, doesn't it? Listen to this montage that we've put together, clip 5.
But it's Biden versus Trump.
Yes,
we know that.
It is.
What do you say to voters who are upset that those are the two choices?
Get over yourself. Those are the two choices.
Yeah, love that.
Right? And one is old and effective and compassionate, yeah, has a heart and really cares about people. And one is old and has been charged with 91 felonies. I don't understand why this is even a hard choice, really. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But it's an existential question. What kind of country we're going to have, what kind of democracy we're going to have.
And, you know, what Donald Trump is doing, it's equal parts the power of positive thinking, which is the church, to the extent that it's a church that he grew up in. But it's also, it's kind of David Koresh. It's kind of Jim Jones. Yeah. But eventually their evangelism said, no, I get to have your wife. No, actually, I get to tell you to kill these federal agents that are outside. I'm asking you to pick up a machine gun and shoot them because I don't want to go to jail.
Yeah.
They, you know, this is Manson stuff, where you stop saying worship God and you start saying, I am God. I am God, is what Trump is saying to his followers. Why are they believing it?
In a lighthearted way, you'd simply say Donald Trump is jealous of Jesus. All the attention given to Jesus Christ by the Christians of the world yesterday.
Republicans were, however, content to ignore actual blasphemy from Donald Trump during Holy Week leading up to Easter, a week in which he compared himself to Jesus and promoted his $60 MAGA Bibles with secular literature tucked inside. Because to Trump, Easter Sunday is just another day to violate the fourth commandment about honoring the Sabbath by hawking his cheap snake oil to the MAGA masses for cash to pay his legal bills, including the bill about him violating the seventh commandment by committing adultery with a porn star. And the one where he violated the eighth commandment by stealing from the taxpayers of New York by making up the prices of his real estate.
Wow, she's pulling out the Ten Commandments, Joy Reid, to go after Trump, as I said on yesterday's show. They're very Christian when it comes to attacking Trump and promoting transgenderism, because, you know, Jesus would do that. I mean, this is sickness of the highest order. You're seeing it on display. It's all throughout our society. And it shows you, I mean, it shows you just how evil this world is. There's no true religion that's on display. Just what, it's will worship. Here, let me tell you about the Ten Commandments. These are communists that hate religion. They hate religion, true religion. They hate it. And yet, what did Herbert Armstrong used to talk about, how that human nature likes to believe that it's good. It's religious. It's righteous. But it doesn't want to do good. It's hypocrisy, rank hypocrisy. Hearers only, not doers of the law, certainly not. Anything to get Trump. This court case in New York, the Alvin Bragg case, the hush money. Judge Merchant comes out with the gag order. We've got to stop Trump from even talking, even though there's all these conflicts of interest. But we've got to, we can talk about Trump like Joy Reid just did there. We can tell you how much he breaks the commandments of God. But now he can't expose us. So we can issue a gag order, make sure that he's silenced. Donald Trump said on Truth Social, I think this might have been earlier today, I was just informed that another corrupt New York judge, Juan Merchant, gagged me so that I cannot talk about the corruption and conflicts taking place in his courtroom with respect to a case that everyone, including the DA, felt should never have been brought. This might have been actually earlier on in the process. But Alvin Bragg himself knew there was no case here. Now this is the only case going to trial. So they're going to probably get Trump on hush money, on some kind of campaign finance violation. This is the one. I mean, this was the most bogus of all of them. But this is the only one that's gotten any traction. This is the only one that's going to trial before the election. So they're all on board with it now. Trump says they can talk about me, but I can't talk about them. That sounds fair, doesn't it? This judge should be recused, and the case should be thrown out. There has virtually never been a more conflicted judge than this one. Election interference at its worst. What does he mean? A conflicted judge? Well, let me read to you what Julie Kelly had to say. It says here, at the end of of 2019, Representative Adam Schiff, you know about him, the serial liar, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, was leading the first impeachment effort against President Trump. After months of making accusations and conducting congressional inquiries related to Trump's July 2019 call with Vladimir Zelensky, a conversation Democrats described as a quid pro quo, attempting to trade military aid for an investigation into the Biden family's corrupt business dealings, Schiff and six other Democrats delivered articles of impeachment to the Senate in January 2020. It says that same month, Schiff's campaign committee paid a new Chicago-based consulting firm $600,000 for digital media buys, presumably to spread the word via email, text, and social media online advertisements that the California congressman planned to oust Trump. It says the firm, Authentic Campaigns, is headed by Lauren Merchant, the 34-year-old daughter of the New York judge now overseeing the so-called hush money case against Trump. You can see why Judge Merchant wants to gag Trump, because you can't go and expose this kind of conflict of interest. No, they can do whatever they want. It's Trump who's breaking commandments. Listen, it's Trump who's not religious. Trump is, he's the only sinner in America, Donald Trump. It says here, according to Federal Election Commission reports, Schiff's campaign committee paid Authentic Campaigns more than $3.7 million for digital media acquisitions between January 1, 2019 and December 31st, 2020. So millions and millions of dollars going into this organization, headed up by Lauren Merchant. And now her daddy's presiding over the Alvin Bragg case. How about that? No problem. No problem that he's right in bed with Adam Schiff. This is crazy. What a joke. No wonder Donald Trump's popularity just keeps skyrocketing. No wonder. No wonder people that voted Democrat in 2020 are now saying, hey, I've had enough. I've seen enough. I'm on the Trump train. This is from Juan Williams at The Hill. Millions of Americans are watching a political wrestling match in which the referee is always looking the other way when it comes to Donald Trump. It's unfair, grossly unfair. It's cheating on a mass scale, election interference. Hundreds of ordinary citizens involved in storming the Capitol on January 6 have gone to trial, paid fines, and gone to jail, but not Trump, he says. Lawyers Sidney Powell, Jenna Ellis have pleaded guilty over their efforts to overturn the 2020 election based on lies pushed by Trump, but not Trump. So here's another lefty saying, yeah, actually the system is rigged in favor of Trump, if you can believe it. Never mind Juan Merchant and his daughter and the connection with Adam Schiff. It says here the U.S. Supreme Court recently twisted its neck to look the other way to allow Trump another amazing escape. It unanimously rejected efforts by several states to deny Trump a place on the 2024 ballot due to his role in encouraging the January 6 attack on Congress. It's all they have, you see. The fake insurrection. The big lie, they say. The stolen election. It's all they have. So when that unravels, they scream. They cry. They're mentally deranged. You see the mental illness on display all the time. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It says, most high-level Democrats had a lot more fun during the resistance than they've had professing to believe, against all evidence, that President Biden is fully in control of his faculties and that his administration hasn't been embroiled in one debacle after another from the beginning. It says, today's liberal politicos look back on the years 2016 to 20, I imagine, in much the same way a baby boomer leftist used to talk about promoting or protesting the Vietnam War. It says, we stood for something back then, man. We weren't going to let the pigs win. While Trump was in the White House, you could imagine yourself part of some noble band of freedom fighters willing to do what it took to stop America's slide into right-wing tyranny. It says, rereading accounts of the early Trump years, you can't miss his enemies' self-dramatization. Well, here we are, 2024, the war in 24. It's time to buckle up. The lies, the propaganda, it's all over. This story from Mexico, I've had this clip for a couple of programs now from Victor Davis Hanson talking about that recent interview with the Mexican president on 60 Minutes and how that they're just laughing at America's weakness. They're snubbing their nose at America. They could care less at what America says or thinks or does or announces or the proclamations that it issues. We've become a laughingstock. Victor Davis Hanson says in a recent 60 Minutes interview, Mexican President Andre Manuel Obrador, who prefers to be known as AMLO for short, issued to the Biden administration blackmail demands that sounded more like existential threats. AMLO warned the U.S. that the current influx of some 10 million illegal aliens through the southern border will most certainly continue unless America agrees to his ultimatums. Think of it. Mexico giving America ultimatums. This is Victor Davis Hanson from a few days ago, clip 7.
Any normal president would slap a 10% tax on the $60 billion of remittances that go to Mexico. They would declare the cartels a foreign terrorist organization, finish the wall, and maybe help out with the military on the border.
That's what a normal president would do. Slap a tax on them. Put up a wall. Secure the border. Saw a story the other day. All the money that's going into, I think it was an African nation. America sending money over there to help secure their borders. This VDH piece. It says, Obrador says the U.S. must now send $20 billion in de facto bribery payments to Latin American nations, many of them corrupt and dysfunctional. Apparently, he thinks it's America's fault that millions of Latin Americans are fleeing these failed states northward, not the inept and corrupt governments that create such misery. It's kind of like here at home. Everything that's wrong with America is Donald John Trump. the regime says. And then you look at the enemies abroad or America's adversaries abroad, and they look at everything that's wrong in the world and they blame America. That's right. It says AMLO demands amnesty for vast numbers of Mexican illegal aliens currently unlawfully residing inside the U.S. He apparently also thinks there is no such thing as U.S. immigration law, or if there is, such statutes do not apply to citizens of Mexico. Can we ask Mr. Obrador to simply grant permanent visa-free, no-questions-asked residence to any American living in a vacation complex in Mexico? Would any other nation put up with this? Would any other nation just have a wide-open border and say, yeah, we'll take millions and millions of Americans. We'll give them amnesty. We'll let them vote. We'll give them a cash card. We'll put them up at the Four Seasons. Die by suicide. That's what's happening. Listen to this from Fareed Zakaria. He's talking about just how wonderful the economy is under the fake president, and how that he can't really understand why that the people wouldn't get behind him, the fake president, and support him, given how good everything is. They lie, don't they? They do. Clip 6.
We are doing much better than any of the other major economies in the world. We're doing amazingly, but what has happened is, you know, even so people for a while said, well, we don't realize it. We're feeling the inflation. Well, for the last 18 months, consumer sentiment has been going up, but Biden's approval ratings still flatline. And what's really happened is our political identities are no longer shaped by economics as it used to be for so many years. They're shaped by culture, by class, by religion, by all these tribal identities.
All the tribal identities. That's why Joe Biden is so unpopular. It's not because of the collapsing economy or the wide open border or any of these dumpster fires. It's just, you know, we're kind of divided. And here again, he didn't say it outright, but you get where they go. It's really Donald Trump who's caused so much of this division. It's Trump, the Church of Trump, as the New York Times said earlier this week. That's the problem. Now, our church, we're righteous, because look, we're welcoming in transgenders. But the Church of Trump, now that's very, very dangerous. There have been quite a few stories, just to shift gears here, by the way. There have been quite a few stories. My wife just got an email alert today or yesterday regarding the rise of cancer among young people or middle-aged adults and younger. Why is this happening? Well, none of them are certainly going to go anywhere near the vaccine, that's for sure. But this is from CNN. It says the recent revelation of the cancer diagnosis of Catherine, Princess of Wales, who is 42, has left many observers shocked. As a medical or in the medical profession, I'm heartbroken, but hardly surprised. Listen to this. Early onset cancer, which is defined as happening in adults under 50 years of age, is no anomaly. In fact, it is part of a rising global trend in which newly diagnosed cancer patients are getting younger. Now, we can't blame all of this on these horrible vaccines. There's a lot of other things in our diet and so on, chemicals, etc., that could be causing this. But why? I mean, here's yet another curse. All of this technology, all of this sophisticated technology, and yet so much sickness. It's like the paradox that Herbert Armstrong so often spoke about. Knowledge has doubled, but so has the evil. Why? How is this possible? Are we really progressing? Is society really getting better? Are we evolving into something better and more sophisticated than ever before? Far from it. Says here, the global incidence of early onset cancer increased by 79%, and early onset cancer deaths rose by 27% from 1990 to 2019, a 2023 study found. Further on, it says here, notably, the population's underlying genetic risks haven't changed in the past several decades, bolstering the case that environment and lifestyle have a greater role in these cancers than our genes. It says culprits may include ultra-processed foods, sugary drinks, red meat, smoking, alcohol, sleep alterations, obesity, and physical inactivity. Lots of factors. And then further on, as far as identifying a root cause here, they quote one doctor who says, the short answer is, we just don't know. All of this technology, all of these machines, push button society, and we just can't figure it out. Look at what has happened since the scamdemic in 2020. I mean, what a world we're living in. I can remember Herbert Armstrong's World Tomorrow programs. He would contrast, you know, the filth and squalor of the third world with the prosperity, the riches and the prosperity of Western nations. But then he would zoom into the Western nations and say that while there is physical prosperity and such, look at the filth and squalor morally. Look at the sickness and the disease in very prosperous nations. It is a paradox. And God does tell us in his word that in the last days, perilous times would come. Read through 2 Timothy 3, those first few verses. Read through what it says there about the show of religion. It all looks very, very righteous. You listen to the talking heads as they talk about Jesus, as they talk about the law, even the Ten Commandments. But see, it only applies to people that they hate. There's hatred in their hearts, which breaks one of the Ten Commandments, by the way. Jesus taught us that in Matthew 5. He sure did. It's something to think about. We have a booklet, by the way, on the Ten Commandments. Takes you through a study of all 10. That's right. Those 10 are just an expression of God's love. God spelling out his love for us. Obeying these commands really and truly would solve all the problems of this world. That's the truth. Mr. Armstrong brings that out in Mystery of the Ages. Every particle of human suffering, it's caused by breaking or violating the commandments of God. That's the plain and simple truth of your Bible. God gave us his commands, his law, his government, so that we might have happiness and joy and peace. Missing Dimension in Sex comes to mind, the Mystery of the Ages book, but for now, maybe I can just finish off with the Ten Commandments, plugging that little booklet. Again, everything that we offer on this program is offered without cost or obligation. Just call our operators today. If you want a hard copy, you can get to the print version or the online version at our website, thetrumpet.com. The 800 number, however, is 1-866-930-3024. Just call our operators and say you'd like a copy, a free copy, no cost, no obligation, a free copy of the Ten Commandments. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Every particle of human suffering, unhappiness, misery, and death has come solely from the transgression of God's immutable law. Obedience to God's law liberates us from all unhappiness, pain, and suffering. It frees us from captivity, from spiritual slavery. Obeying God's commandments guarantees a life overflowing with joyful abundance. For much more on this subject, request a free copy of The Ten Commandments. When you make your request, don't forget to enroll in the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This 36-lesson course is a distance learning program that will help you to get to know your Bible. Each month, you will receive a lesson that guides you in discovering the answers to life's most important questions, all from your own Bible. Your enrollment has already been paid for. Enroll today.
Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
Enroll today in that Bible correspondence course. We haven't had a promo for that in some time as well, but what a valuable resource to just take you right through the Holy Bible, the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's what Paul said to Timothy. And you can go through those 36 lessons and really have your mind open to the truth of the whole Bible. It's a wonderful, wonderful study. Last week I was telling the students how important it is to just finish strong. Every year we go through a busy and intense school year, two semesters. I think 28, 29 weeks out of the year they're in session, they're in school. They're working their way through classes and work on the side as well as all the social activities and the papers and the quizzes and the exams. It's busy. It's intense. It can be stressful. And through it all, as we encourage them, God really is testing them to make sure that they put Him first, that they bring God into their education, that they work first and foremost on their relationship with God. I went through the example of courage and faith that you find in the book of Daniel, particularly Daniel 3 and Daniel 6, those sore trials, those fiery trials that Daniel and his three friends endured through. It says in chapter 3, verse 17, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They told the king of Babylon that, look, it's God, it's possible, it's entirely possible. God can save us from this. God is a miracle-making father. And then verse 18 says, but if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. You see, God was their judge. And they told this Gentile king, you know, if God's able to save us, for sure, but if he doesn't intervene here, then we're still not going to bow down and worship this pagan idol. Their lives were completely in God's hands, and that's exactly where God wanted their lives to be. That's where he wants our lives to be. To just have the faith, to just have the relaxed faith, to say, you know what, God, even if I have to die here, I'm going to go out swinging, spiritually speaking. The prayer outline in Matthew 6, God gives us a nice format or an outline to work with there with respect to offering up our daily prayers, that daily sacrifice, that daily communication with our Maker. And every day we've got to put in the time and build a consistent routine that will really strengthen that relationship with God. Dale Carnegie says about that outline, that prayer outline, he said, remember that prayer asks only for today's bread. It doesn't complain about the stale bread we had to eat yesterday. And it doesn't say, oh God, it has been pretty dry out in the wheat belt lately, and we may have another drought. And then how will I get bread to eat next fall? Or suppose I lose my job. God, how could I get bread then? No, this prayer teaches us to ask for today's bread only. Today's bread is the only kind of bread you can possibly eat. So this here, Christ here, Matthew 6, he's advocating a day-by-day mentality. Every day we awake from the dead, so to speak, and we have a full day. We have a full day of 16, 17 hours before we die, before we go back to sleep. And we need that sleep. Sleep is important too. But how do we organize our days? How diligent are we in going out and gathering that spiritual manna first to start the day, to begin the day? Do you earnestly seek God First thing in the day, to start your day right, Mr. Armstrong said this. This is from 1980. He said, God's salvation is not something that you collect only after you die. It is a practical, common sense, useful salvation, which starts in your everyday life right here and now. It's practical. It's common sense. That's the beauty of the Holy Bible. And so many people dismiss it. And the only time they even refer to it, like I said in the first segment, is when they're trying to attack somebody they hate. They hate Donald Trump. They hate him. And there they are, going on and on about the Ten Commandments. It doesn't happen very often. Like I said yesterday, it's 3, 4, 5 days out of the year when they can use religion as a cudgel to go after their opponent, to beat their opponent into submission, or at least to try to. Mr. Armstrong said, what needless pain some have been suffering, what needless fears and worries you may have been carrying around, what wonderful times, what happiness you may have cheated yourself out of, just because you have not realized and taken advantage of the very present and all-powerful help of your living Savior. Jesus Christ lives. He's our living Savior. You don't see that language very much in the world of traditional Christianity, but you find it in Mr. Armstrong's writings. Our living Savior, he said about the book of Hebrews. I mean, the reason it's so neglected is because the book of Hebrews is about the living Savior. Jesus Christ lives. He's at the right hand of God. He's on God's throne room, or in God's throne room, on his throne. But the world represents Jesus as a dead Savior. And you see pictures that are supposedly getting that across all over the world, all in the Vatican, all in churches, on necklaces. He lives. He lives. And the way of life that God and Jesus Christ promote is, as Mr. Armstrong said, it's a practical, common sense, useful salvation that God wants you to put into practice right now in your day-to-day living. I've given you this list before. This is 10 daily questions or evaluations. Mr. Armstrong put this out back in 1941. Some 85 years ago, this is something that he put into practice as he evaluated himself every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Help me to do what I need to do today to grow in character, to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mr. Armstrong said, first, did I awake spiritual in a happy, prayerful attitude? And was I watchful to keep my mind from wandering this morning? Did I wait? This is not something that comes naturally, by the way. Human nature is deceitful above all things, the prophet Jeremiah said. It's hostile toward God and his law. And so we've got to go to the source from above, the source of that divine nature that comes from God through his Spirit. And then at the end of the day, you can ask yourself, did I awake in a spiritual, happy, prayerful attitude, rolling out of bed and right into that prayer session with God? He says you can ask yourself, have I this day kept my mind clean, my thoughts and contemplations on the things above in continuous, happy, positive, prayerful attitude? You notice the emphasis here on prayer or being in a prayerful attitude. He says, number three, have I, as a babe in Christ, partaken 3 times today of spiritual food by submissive Bible study and earnest prayer alone with God? Have I grown closer to God? Have I grown today in grace and knowledge? That's 2 Peter 3:18. I mentioned it earlier. Have I grown today? Have I partaken 3 times of spiritual food, whether through Bible study or prayer or both? It says in the next one, number 4, have I walked by faith, asking God for wisdom and guidance in all things, committing every little problem to him, trusting him with it? Have you walked by relaxed faith through this day? Again, God doesn't want to overwhelm us. God doesn't say, look, you've got to do this for the next 10 years. I mean, we do want to do it for 10 years. We don't want to waver. We want to endure to the end. But the thing of it is, God breaks it up into daily increments. It says in Daniel 8, Daniel 11, that we want to do the daily. We want to do exploits, great things for God. And all of us, I'm sure, we're the lowly of the world, it says in 1 Corinthians. So you can, it is possible to be, you know, to kind of wilt under the pressure. But it's also possible for all of us to put in a really good day and to try to build on that the next day. The fifth question to consider, have I exercised self-discipline, denying impulse, doing what God's word shows I ought to do instead of what I wanted to do? What is it today? Today, what do you need to do? What ought you to do? There's plenty of things that are pulling at us to be distracted away with this or that. That's not essential. That's not important. It's not to say that there's never a time for entertainment or R&R. But look at our society. I mean, like 2 Timothy 3 says, I mean, we're just pleasures. We're seeking pleasures ahead of seeking our relationship with God. Number six, Mr. Armstrong says, was my speech and conversation today kind and cheerful, soft? You can read, I think it's Ephesians 4, where it says, don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. It's sad, isn't it, today? Even when there's a pretty good documentary or something, as I was saying earlier, that there still is just a lot of profanity, a lot of ungodly language, so common in the world today. It's becoming more and more common just on sitcoms, just regular old, you know, 30-minute TV shows on broadcast networks. It seems like some people are so in love with off-color language, they cannot clean it up. They just won't do it. God says we should clean it up. Number seven says, have I exercised patience today? Have I been charitable toward others, showing tolerance and love or resentment, jealousy, and anger? How have you treated each other? Matthew 22 talks about the first and great commandment being, you know, loving God with your whole heart, and that would include God's family, and then loving your neighbor as yourself. Love is flowing out from or away from self. The eighth question to consider in this daily evaluation, have I, while putting spiritual interests first, been diligent in performing regular material duties? Today, doing my very best? Am I, if you're a father, are you a good provider? Do you work hard? That's one of the evidences of a true Christian. Good work ethic. Look at 1 Timothy 5:8 on your own time. Another one here says, have I made the most of my time or been weakened by unwatchfulness? 1 Peter 4 says to watch unto prayer. I mean, we know, especially as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. Watch, be watchful. Watch and pray always. And then the last one here asks, what have I done for God's work and for others? Have I spent anything today to please myself that could have been saved for God's cause? I mean, these are good questions to consider. Did I waste away precious time, precious opportunities today to serve God and His great cause in order to just go and pursue, you know, trivial things? Again, we all fall short. It's so easy to waste away time, particularly in this modern world where Satan just surcharges the air with his attitudes, his impulses, his ideas, his thoughts. And then you've got so many distractions to go with it. I mean, he really is a master at creating distraction, at pulling you away from doing what you know you ought to do. Notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4. We'll start in verse 16. But look, God wants us to lead a happy and productive and rewarding and a worry-free life. to just relax in our faith like the three friends of Daniel. Listen, we're going to obey the true God. God can save us from this fiery furnace. And even if he doesn't, I mean, there's a simplicity in that, isn't there? They were in God's care. They were in God's hands. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Every single day, that inward man has to be renewed. Every single day, we've got to go out and gather the manna. Every single day, we've got to consume spiritual food. Mr. Armstrong talked about the Holy Spirit of God and how that it's something that, well, you can see this in Romans 8. God's Spirit leads us. It doesn't drag us or pull us or kick us. It leads out front. And every day we've got to continually regenerate that power supply, that spiritual energy, that nature from God, the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. It comes from above, not from within. God wants to put it in us, but it's from him. He's the source of power. Verse 17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." The Moffat translation says, "The slight trouble of the passing hour results in a solid glory past all comparison." It's just, I mean, comparatively speaking, when you compare it with our soon-to-be glory, Romans 8:17, it makes the little afflictions that we have in the flesh, it makes them just that. They're little. It's just slight. Just ever so slight. That's it. God wants to give us the universe. We want to maintain this focus, this mindset when going through trials and tests. See things in proper perspective. That verse in Romans 8, it's actually verse 18. I see it in my notes here. It says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You can't even compare the two. What a wonderful calling we have. My late grandmother, she died in 1997. And she had that when we went into our apartment after she died and started to gather up her things and her old Bible. She had a little note card in the middle marking a page. And she wrote out, "What a wonderful calling we have. How wonderful it is." Herbert Armstrong used to say, you know, how much do we even thank God for our calling, for our incredible human potential? Every man dies. I mean, it's given to man once to die, Hebrews 9 says. But what about after? That's something to think about. That's something to ponder. Selah. Look at Mystery of the Ages. If you don't have a copy of that book, make sure you call our operators and secure your free copy. 1-866-930-3024 is the 800 number. Verse 18, just to finish here, it says, "While we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." See, where is our focus? What is the ultimate reality in our minds? This body, this physical frame, this tabernacle, it's just constantly changing and eventually it'll wear out. But that spiritual renewal, I mean, that's where the real power is. That's where we want to go every day. Replenish that supply of power day by day. That's all we have time for, unfortunately, on today's show. The fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.